Being an adult with a roommate has to be tough, man. Mm-hmm. We talked to Angela this morning for Why Should We Talk to You on Monday. She has a wild weekend ahead of her.
Yikes. Not jealous.
What else did we do? We did Friend or Foe. That was fun.
Oh, it was fun.
Love prevailed, Chelsea.
It did.
Oh,
it did.
Maybe I shouldn't give it away. And then the feud. You and Brian Riley went head-to-head.
This one just was a downward spiral for me, man.
I got to be honest. It was tough. I didn't have one single
answer.
See, that's what happens when you can't cheat the system and know all the answers.
Yeah,
you got to actually guess.
I think you Googled it.
That's a good idea for next week. Keep an eye on it.
You wish.
All right. Anyway, you'll hear it all right now on the podcast.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
Pack up your stuff and get out. That's what we have up today. And why should we talk to you on Monday? It's when someone has something big going on over the weekend. So they call us up. They make us a part of it. And we all get to enjoy it. That is why we have Angela on the phone with us right now. Angela, what's going on? Why should we talk to you on Monday?
Because I have this roommate that if I can, you know, hold myself together until the phone call's over, I'm going to tell this roommate to get out. I can't take it anymore.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
Is it a he or a she?
It's a he.
It's a he. Okay. What's going on?
I mean, it's basically, he's just totally disgusting. I mean, whatever he eats, he tends to leave it out. And the other day I saw, like, in the living room, I saw like mold growing on something behind the chair. I was like, oh my God, David, like, throw that away. He's like, okay, I'm going to throw it away as soon as I'm done doing this. Then when he was done, I came back later. He had already gone and still didn't throw it away.
What is this guy?
Brought to your attention. Too old to be doing this nonsense.
I was saying, he's not a teenager, is he? Because I can't imagine a grown man living like this.
No, he's 29.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Now, how did you end up with this disgusting roommate of yours?
Well, the problem is that he's brilliant. He's brilliant. We work together in his IT company, and he's brilliant. And his roommate had a death in the family, and people had to come and stay there to help him out. And it turned into a long-term thing, and he needed a place to stay. So we worked together. It was great. So I offered. I have an extra room. I offered, you know, okay, you could do this because my other roommate already moved back to Europe, so this would work out. But, oh my God, the respect I had for his brain is gone.
That's awesome.
Not so smart.
So what are some of the other things he's doing that's driving you crazy?
Well, I mean, isn't that enough? Common sense is not common for him. I mean, he'll do things like, go in the bathroom. I'll hear something trickling. I'm like, what is that? I'll go in the bathroom that he uses, and the water is running. Not trickling, running.
He just walks away, washes his hands, and walks away.
So used to the automatic
ones. I went to grab something. Yeah, he says, I went to grab a cup in the kitchen, and then I forgot, and then I didn't go back. And I'm like, but can't you hear it? Like, just turn it off when you leave the room.
And that's driving up your water bill, too.
Oh, man.
That's not the point. That's going to help the earth. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
So, Angela, let me ask you then. Why should we talk to you on Monday?
To find out if I didn't get arrested.
That's a fair one.
Why? What, are you going to assault him?
No. If he refuses, I'm going to have to try to, like, drag him out or throw all his stuff outside.
So you're kicking him out?
Leave with his stuff.
You're kicking him out this weekend?
Yes. I already warned him once before that, you know, this was extravagant, you know, like, you really need to go, and if not, you're just going to be kicked out. And he slashed in my face, like, you're too nice for that. But I'm not.
This guy is the most oblivious human being I think I've ever heard in my entire life.
Girl. Common sense is not common to him.
Are you going to be sneaky about it? Are you going to pack his stuff and, like, leave it outside, including these moldy dishes? Or are you going to tell him and hope he just packs his stuff?
No. I'm going to tell him to his face and stand there with my foot tapping.
Wait.
Stand there. I even have boxes in my trunk. I have boxes in my trunk that I all folded down that I'm, you know, going to, here we go.
How long is
set up for you?
How long has he been living with you?
Almost a month, but it's
dang, he's already getting, and then you got to see him at work?
That's how it got to be a month, because I should have done this right away, but I was like, okay, no.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I cannot.
At work, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's brilliant. At least we're not on the same team.
My question is, how do you think he's going to take it when you're like, hey, pal, can't do this anymore?
When you whip out the pal, you've had it.
I used to think that, you know, it was, you know, he would be upset. But he's so, like, happy-go-lucky that he'll probably just, you know, roll with it and I don't know. He'll just probably roll with it. He's so like a happy guy, easygoing, and nothing really rattles him, but we'll see.
Okay.
I think I'm carrying the rattling for him. We'll see what happens.
This is awesome.
I can't believe it. Within a month's time, you're like, get the hell out. And then he moved all his stuff in. Now, 1 month later, he's got to move it all back out.
Well, maybe some still in boxes, and it'll be easier than you think.
It doesn't even matter about it being easy.
Oh, well, Angela, I cannot wait to talk to you on Monday. So we're going to call you back at the same time on Monday and find out how did it go kicking out your coworker slash roommate after 1 month of them living there, okay?
Okay. Please.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
It's time to send either one of our contestants to Winstock, two of our contestants to Winstock, or neither one of these contestants to Winstock, and the 99th texter gets to go. It's time for Friend or Foe. Lori, are you there?
Yeah.
Holly, are you there?
Yes, sir. We're back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a round of Friend or Foe.
Here we go.
Okay.
So what we're going to do here in a minute is we're going to have you guys say friend or foe at the exact same time. If you both say friend, you each get one ticket to Winstock. If one of you says friend and the other one says foe, the person who says foe gets two tickets to Winstock. If you both decide to screw each other and say foe, neither one of you goes to Winstock and we go to the 99 texter.
No pressure, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Now, Lori, guys, this game is all about what?
Friendship.
Right.
Trust.
Trust. Thank you, Chelsea.
Stabbing someone in the back.
No, Brian. No, Brian.
Oh, dang. Okay.
It's not about that.
I tried.
But, Lori, why don't you just take a minute and tell Holly why you think you should both say friend?
I think we both should say friend because it is such a great time at Winstock, and it would just be great for both of us to experience that fun.
That's very
sweet.
Lori, how long have you gone to, how many years have you gone to Winstock?
Five.
Okay.
Dang. Yeah.
Okay.
She's a veteran.
She's an old pro.
And she's willing to share. I like this.
That's the friendship thing you were talking about, Chelsea. This is what it looks like.
Memories made at Winstock together.
Yes. Well, let's hear from Holly now. Holly, why don't you just take a few seconds and tell Lori, why should you guys both say friends so you each get one ticket to Winstock?
Because maybe we can meet up at Winstock and you can show me how it would be for my first year.
Oh, it's her first time now.
Okay. Holly, what would you be most excited about at Winstock if you got to go?
Just hanging out, checking out all the concerts and bands and all the crowd.
Yeah, it is a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed you didn't say anything about drinking, though.
Mm.
I could live without that.
Okay.
I love that.
More for me.
She's there for the good times and the positive vibes, Kelly.
I think that's cool.
All right. Well, Holly and Lori, here's what we're going to do. Now, we have to play this while we're off the air so that you guys can't hear each other. So we're going to play a couple of songs here, and we're going to play Friend or Foe off the air. Now, everybody listening, you want to stick around because we're going to play back what we record while we're off the air. And if neither one of these two is going to Winstock, we are going to the 99th texter texting in Winstock right now to 320-656-9453. All right. So while that song was playing, we played Friend or Foe off the air. I'm about to play back the recording of what happened. Don't spoil it, anyone.
Okay.
But you definitely want to win these tickets. Now, if neither one of these contestants wins, the 99th texter texting in the word Winstock to 320-656-9453 is going to win.
And you're going to come hang out with us at Winstock. On top of that, go see Jason Aldean, Cole Swindell, John Party, Ashley McBride, Josh Turner. I know I'm forgetting Russell Dickerson, a whole bunch.
So many more. And this is the kickoff for summer concerts. We want to party with you.
All right. So we had Lori and Holly who played Friend or Foe while Luke Combs was playing. Here's what happened. Lori, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. We are playing a song right now. So Holly can't hear you. We're not on the air or anything like that. But we always like to hear before we go into this, do you plan on saying friend or foe?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to say friend because it's such a fun experience. I think she should experience it, too.
Okay.
Ooh.
Brian wants blood.
Look, you're going to Winstock. You're trying to go with you and your best friend, not you and someone you've never met before.
Yeah,
Brian,
that's true,
why don't you let somebody be nice? You know what? You could be super nice and say foe and give her both tickets.
Yeah, would you want to do that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I could.
Yeah.
That's a no.
Yeah. Chelsea's right.
And Lori, this would be what, your fifth or sixth year going to Winstock?
This will be my sixth going.
Wow.
Ooh, girl.
Good for you. They need to put a plaque up in your honor over there.
No kidding. And she did mention it would be her first time, so I think that would be kind of sweet if you both went.
All right. Well, Lori, we're going to put you back on hold, okay, so that you can't hear what Holly says, and then we're going to play friend or foe.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Holly, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, we are playing a song right now, so we're not live on the air. Lori can't hear you, but we always like to know before we go into it, do you plan on saying friend or foe?
Friend?
That was a question.
You're going to say friend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is everyone so nice?
Well, Brian,
today's my Friday.
What's that?
Today's my Friday, so I might as well be.
Yeah, mine too.
All right.
Well, amazing how that works.
Well, Holly, do you have anybody you want to go to Winstock with?
Probably my husband.
Probably.
Okay.
It's a smart thing. Now, do you want to pay for a ticket for your husband, or you want you and him to go for free and enjoy this experience together?
I would like to go for free. So.
Okay, hey, Brian, you're missing a big point of this.
What?
If they both say foe, neither one of them is going, and we're going to the 99 texting.
Yeah, you know, that's the risk you're willing to take. Look, I'm the gambler, man. I'm trying to get everyone to jump on the train with me.
And maybe for a first time, she doesn't want the husband to go.
The degenerate gambler.
She's going to hang out with Lori.
Well, let's find out, guys. Should we play?
Let's do it.
All right. Holly, we're going to get Lori back on with us, okay?
Sounds good.
Here we go. Lori, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Now we got both of you back on, Lori and Holly. Here's how this is going to work. At the count of three, we're going to have you guys say either friend or foe, okay?
All right.
If one of you hesitates, you lose instantly. The other person gets both tickets, okay?
Okay.
Yep.
Now, if you both say friend, you each get one ticket to Winstock. If one of you says foe and the other one says friend, the person who says foe gets both tickets to Winstock. If you both decide to screw each other and say foe, neither one of you goes, and we go to the 99 texter right now.
Okay.
Is everybody ready?
I'm nervous.
Sounds good.
Chelsea, are you ready? I know you're not even playing, but are you ready?
I'm hanging on.
Yeah. Brian Riley's sitting over there angry. All right, here we go.
I'm not angry. I'm ready.
Everybody, at the count of three. One, two, three.
Friend.
Ah, love wins.
Light prevails.
That was in perfect unison. That was almost like harmony. It was so beautiful.
We have Lori, the Winstock veteran. Holly, who's the new kid on the block. Both going to Winstock, baby.
Yay.
And you each have to pay for an extra ticket for your spouse.
That's all right, Brian.
They can buy their own.
Yeah. Either way. Now, Lori, you stuck with friend. Why is that?
Because, like I said, I wanted her to experience it, too, because it is such a fun time.
That's awesome. Aww. And, Holly, you stuck with friend.
Yep.
Just out of the goodness of your heart?
Yeah, why not? Everybody's in a good mood. I don't feel like screwing anybody today.
I got to work on my persuading a little bit more.
Another feel-good friend.
The art of the deal. Well, I'm happy. Chelsea's happy. That's all that matters.
I love win-win.
And Lori and Holly are happy because you guys are both going to Winstock.
Hey!
Oh. Woo!
It's time now for the Small Town Salute.
We want to say good morning to everybody listening in Clear Lake, Minnesota, population 641. Now, there is an actual Clear Lake that's 18 feet at its deepest point, and if you want to head there to do a little fishing, you'll find black bullheads, black crappies, bluegill, largemouth bass, northern pike, pumpkin seed, walleye, white crappie, and yellow perch. That's a lot of fish for a town that only covers 1.1 square miles, but that's why Clear Lake, Minnesota, you get today's Small Town Salute.
That was your Small Town Salute on The Kelly Jordan Show. The Kelly Jordan Show.
We all reach a certain level of comfort with our significant other after you log a few years in the books, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear people's stories on this. 320-656-9453. Ways that you knew that you were super comfortable with your significant other. Because I don't know if anybody's will be as gross as Brian Riley's.
Look. Guys, everyone has to do it. Everyone's got to clip their toenails.
Okay? Yeah, but in the bathroom.
You do it over the toilet like a man.
That's how you do
it? Yeah.
I do it on the toilet so I can just flush them.
Yeah, amen. See, that's nonsense. I do it in the living room. In the middle of my living room.
Gross.
Now, that's what you told us yesterday, and yes. I agree with your girlfriend. Disgusting.
It's not disgusting. Here's the thing. It's a comfy seat. It's open. I can watch TV while I'm doing it. I could just, in my own home, I should be able to relax however I need to.
You should, but you should also realize you're not the only one who lives there. Like, is your girlfriend ever catching shrapnel?
No.
Did she ever catch one in the eye?
No.
Do you get every single little piece?
I mean, I get my toenails.
Ugh, there's sweat, there's fungus in there, there's all sorts of weird things going on.
I don't know what type of feet you have. Mine are not like that.
You might want to soak them bad boys.
These bad boys, look, you got to keep them pristine, right? We're on our feet a lot. We're moving around.
Yeah.
You got to... Why can't I do it from the couch? Why can't I do it from the living room?
And it's just unattractive. No one looks good cutting their toenails. You're all bent in half in the middle.
You got to get it done, right? So I just kind of get it, clean it up, throw it in the little trash bag that I got, spray down the counter, the little table that it, you know, might have sat on.
I like
everything's
Ben's
clean and comfortable.
I like Ben's text here. Disgusting. He said, I do it outside on the front porch.
I love it.
Exactly, Ben.
Outside.
Yeah, compost.
You want your neighbors walking by with the dog and you just foot up by the chest cutting those nails?
I would rather do that, and that way the nails can compost and put nutrients back into the soil.
No, you freeze when they walk by. You just say, hey, beautiful day, and you wait till they pass, and then you continue on.
While your foot is in the air. And
Chelsea, you're in a long-term relationship.
I am, man.
What is the thing that happens that you know, like, this dude's too comfortable?
This is way too similar to Brian's story.
Okay.
But my man likes to do his ped egg, the remote ones, the one that has the batteries. And he likes to
shaves the dead skin off your foot?
Removes the calluses.
Ew, that's grosser than mine!
Removes the calluses from his feet, and he does that on my very expensive couch.
Ugh, that's worse than
it's
Brian's.
Disgusting. 100%. So there's just all this stuff that's going on. Plus, then he finishes with the pet egg. And here's the crazy thing. He stores it in the couch. There's a little flip-up.
That dude's an animal.
I didn't know this until we moved. And they turned the couch to go through the door. The little, you know, thing opened up.
Oh.
And they're like, and it
did
fell
it
out.
Did it break open?
It broke open. There's calluses going everywhere. And the movers who are busting their butts picked up. They're like, here's your stuff.
Oh, they
like,
touched it.
Yeah.
Did they sneeze in the dust of his dead skin?
Sweet Jesus. And this is the man who has OCD, who likes to bleach counters after every time I cook, after every time I set down a ladle, but he does this crap on the couch. It's disgusting.
My wife and I have been married. We've been together, like dating and married combined for 19 years, and we don't do any of this stuff. I don't pass gas in front of my wife.
Lies.
No, that's not a lie at all. Not a lie at all.
You've never... One time.
If I have, it's been an accident.
You don't go on farting walks with her or anything?
No, I don't. Like, if I have to use the bathroom, I'll go to whichever, you know, if she's on the first floor, I'll go to the second. She's on the second, I'll go to the first. Always.
You're not going to use the bathroom. So if you're, say you're watching a movie.
Right.
And you've got a, you know.
And you're not
clipping your
toenails.
You got the popcorn noodles.
Lots of fiber.
And leave the room entirely?
No, yes, it's not that I haven't ever passed gas in front of my wife, but I'm not like, come here, honey, wonk.
Nobody does that.
Well, that's not true at all. A few, I suppose.
A friend of mine used to do that. But, like, I'll maybe let it, you know, just meet, I'll maybe meter out the...
Slowly just got to
release.
Go
yeah, I'll maybe meter out the release of it a little
10%
bit.
10% at a time or something like that.
Family members will announce to the whole room during like Thanksgiving that they got to do whatever. And then they go to we have designated bathrooms depending on how you need to do your business. So if you're going to destroy something, you go downstairs. But it gets announced to the whole room.
Well, I mean, that's...
Too much.
Oof. That's closeness of family.
Too much.
Some of the text rolling in, Hunter says that he clips his toenails right in bed.
Oh,
right there.
You're an absolute animal.
You love it. Hey, a couple of people said, Brian Riley, you're totally fine. Our family does it. Katie also said, I don't see anything wrong with cutting your toenails in the living room.
So much bacteria.
The whole family does it?
It's a clipping party in the middle of the living room.
There's so much bacteria under those things.
I bet walking across their carpet feels like walking on barbed wire.
Oh, what was that? You look down, it's just a big toenail stuck to the heel.
I hate that when it's not... Oh, God, I'm going to puke. I hate when it's not yours, especially the big toenail. Oh, Lord.
Well, Brian, judging by the text, consensus, disgusting.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
Jennifer Leverins now joins us from the newsroom because it's time for a round of the feud. Jen, what is today's question?
Today's question is, we asked 100 people, top 5 answers are on the board, name a house you never want to be in.
All right. Ooh. That's what we have up today in this round of The Feud! Brian Riley versus Chelsea, I'm going to step back and watch how it's done.
All right. I think I start because Kelly lost last week.
Yeah.
Ooh. So... If I'm going to go right away, you don't want to be in a haunted house, right? You don't want to be scared?
That's a good one, Brian.
That don't sound good. I don't want to be in a haunted house. Show me haunted house.
All right. Show me haunted house.
Oh, right out the gate. This is going to be a quick one.
Ooh. Number one answer, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, don't want to be in a haunted house. Oh, my gosh. I'm kind of blanking here.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, it could go in so
many
different...
I'm licking my chops for next week.
Go in so many different directions. I'm going to say... Oh, this is actually a real house, that is in Estes Park, Colorado. I'm going to say the one that was in The Shining. I would never want to be in that house.
Oh, show me hotel from The Shining.
No. Are you thinking of the Amityville Horror?
No, I know what she's talking about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got... Well, Jen, read the question for me.
Okay. We asked 100 people, top five answers on the board. Name a house you never want to be in.
Usually, if you're in one of these, this is never a good sign, unless you're a lawyer. Show me courthouse.
Oh.
Oh! Show me courthouse!
Yay!
Yes. Ooh. Jailhouse, courthouse, big house.
Okay.
Dang it, those were all my answers. Okay.
To the people.
Big dog.
Those are all your answers, and you started with the hotel from The Shining?
Kelly Jordan playing, everybody.
I'm sorry.
All right, because it is, Severe Weather Awareness Week, I'm going to say a burning house.
Jeez. This might be the shortest feud ever. Show us Burning House.
Show us Burning House.
Yeah, I have high hopes on that one.
Lady.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right.
I mean, do you want to be in a burning house?
Can I guess one? No, Brian Riley, you guess. I want to guess.
Yeah, no, I want to hear what
how
you have to
guess. How many more answers are on
the board? Yeah, how many are on the board, Jen?
Three.
There's three total?
There were five in all. You got two.
I was going to say Nut House. If you're going crazy.
That's a good one.
Psych
ward? That's not on there either?
That's not politically correct.
I guess that is a little insensitive, isn't it?
No.
To all my nuts out there.
Trying to think what peanut. Other houses are there out there.
I've been to the mental illness chemical dependency unit. It is not somewhere you want to be.
Okay. No.
I mean, if you need help, that's absolutely
you
where you want to be.
You meet a lot of nice people.
Here's one. I think people would want to go there. The White House.
Oh.
Oh, that's good, but no.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like people want to go there.
Right. That's true.
I'm still stuck on Burning House.
Bird House?
A bird house?
Okay, you can just stop.
Lighthouse?
Lighthouse?
No.
That would be awesome, too. Let Jen talk, dude. Clearly, we don't know what this is.
Okay.
Jen, no. I thought we were going easy.
No, see, collusion's over. Collusion's over.
Well, Brian Riley won, but let's hear what the answers would have been. This will be interesting.
Okay, so name a house you never want to be in. A haunted house? The jailhouse? Big house, courthouse. The doghouse.
I was going to say doghouse.
A crack house.
Well.
Holy shnikes.
And an outhouse.
Yeah, you ever been to a music festival in an outhouse? That is 100% true.
That depends, though. What kind of situation? Is it an emergency situation? Because an outhouse looks pretty dang good.
Speechless.
In an emergency at a music festival, I'm finding a tree rather than going to an outhouse.
Are you serious?
100%. No, have you seen some of those?
I have faith in our sanitation companies, especially the ones that sponsor those shows. So thank you.
I don't have faith in the people using the outhouse.
Yeah,
that's not their problem. I have.
They can only do so much policing.
The
absolute animals that attend. This music festival.
Thank you, Jen.
Well, Brian Riley, you did it, man.
Big dog's on top again, as he should be.
Next week? Is that 3 weeks in a row? No, I lost last week.
Yeah.
Okay. But next week, will I be able to lose again? Probably.
Yes, you will.
I'll take on Brian Riley in another round of
The Feud!
Sometimes Kelly finds things interesting that no one else does. We mean absolutely no one. It's time for Maybe It's Just Me.
All right, before we do it, Chelsea, what do you think the most expensive liquid in the world is?
Gasoline on Memorial Day weekend.
All right, close.
Velveeta cheese.
Okay.
Liquid gold. That's what they say.
Clearly, neither one of you wants to put any effort into this whatsoever. So I will just tell you.
That's what they said.
Prove me wrong.
I will just tell you. The most expensive liquid in the world is scorpion venom, but not just any scorpion venom.
What?
It's the Death Stalker scorpion venom. Now, check this out. It costs $39 million per gallon.
Oh.
Now, there's a reason.
Gallon?
Yeah, $39 million per gallon. And why? Because each gallon takes 2.64 million milkings of a scorpion to get a gallon. So they have to milk scorpions 2.64 million times to get just 1 gallon of this scorpion venom.
I didn't know you could milk a scorpion, Fokker.
Yeah.
What's it used for?
Well, if you get stung by a scorpion, they need the antidote.
Oh,
they don't need a gallon of it. Like,
well, no, I mean you're not dumping a gallon of it on somebody, but you need. But you know that's just the measure. Now, I obviously here in the Midwest we don't have scorpions. Thank God,
yeah, praise the Lord.
The entire time I lived in Texas, I think I was there 17, 18 years or something like that. I saw two scorpions and it freaked me the hell out. One was in my daughter's bed. One was scary. I was making my daughter's bed, or I was like, I don't know, pulling down the sheets for her for that night, and there was a scorpion in her bed. Mm-hmm. That was terrifying. And then one time there was one in my dryer.
Oh my gosh.
But he had clearly been in there. Like, he was dead. He had clearly been in there a while.
That's crazy.
They're just the creepiest looking land animal you've ever seen. But yeah, if you want the antidote, if you get stung, it's going to cost you $39 million per gallon.
That's absurd. I was saying, maybe it's just me when you were gone, about this guy who purposely got bit by hundreds of snakes.
Oh, God.
Because then his blood could be used as some of that anti-venom.
Is that real? Does that work?
The guy's from Wisconsin, and that's what he did it from.
Sounds like someone from Wisconsin.
Watch him die from a spider bite.
Yeah.
Oh, he forgot that anti-venom. That's crazy. $39 million for a gallon.
Yeah, man.
Could you imagine if that was your job?
Milking scorpions?
Milking scorpions.
I'm just picturing like a little milking barn like they have for cows, but for scorpions where they like walk in and get hooked up to a machine.
It'd be so unrewarding. It'd just be like, there's one drop. All right, put that scorpion back. One drop.
What did you do? How was your day, honey? Milked a lot of scorpions.
Death stalker. Doesn't that just sound terrifying? Death stalker.
Well, I'll tell you, if you ever get bit by one, you're going to be happy that someone does put that work in, though, because you're going to need that antidote, because that thing will kill you quick as look at you.
Thank goodness.
And maybe you didn't find this one interesting. I certainly did, and it's okay. I'll have another one for you on Monday. You might not like that one either, but I got to keep doing them. After all, it is a sponsored segment on the show, and sometimes I'm the only one that finds it interesting, and maybe it's just me.
Welcome to our first break of the morning. We tack it on the end of the podcast as a bonus track. We talked a little bit about O.J. Simpson passing away and other notable events of 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what else we did.
It was a lot about that.
It was a lot about O.J. passing away and just how bizarre that whole thing was.
And the great year of 1994. I didn't realize we knew how much.
Right. Exactly.
I was only two.
Yeah.
Just a baby.
Ugh. I hate my age. All right. Anyway, you'll hear it all right now. In the bonus track, our first break of the day.
Right? You guys don't know.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. I used to bleach my hair. Oh, God. Yeah. You know I had highlights.
With the cap? Did you do the cap?
I don't remember, to be honest with you. My mom was a hairstylist.
Are you serious?
I always had the freshest cuts.
Dang.
You're the freshest tip guy, huh?
I was the mullet permed in the back guy when that was popular.
I love that. Was it a home salon or did she have a salon?
Sometimes she worked at Cost Cutters.
I like that. Hey.
I don't even know if Cost Cutters exists anymore.
I don't think it does.
I don't know.
But no, she worked at Cost Cutters, so I always looked. My hair was always tight. I remember the first time I had to pay for a haircut when I moved to Austin, Texas. And I was like, damn, I got to pay for haircuts now?
I ain't paying for a haircut.
And for frosted tips?
Frosted tips.
That's nonsense.
They need to bring that back.
Blasphemy.
I was Zach Morris, if there ever was one.
But it feels so good, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
Once you get fresh. Like,
it's funny. I brought my son to where I get my haircut, and it's a pretty rundown barber shop. But he does really good fades. And once you find a guy who does good fades, you hold on to him with all your heart and soul.
Amen.
Because there is not many out there. So this dude, I take my son there, and my son whispers in my ear, Dad, can we go somewhere else? This place is gross. And it is gross.
You're like, trust the process.
I've honestly thought about going to this guy and being like, dude, for $50 a night, I will come in and clean up this place every night.
For free haircuts.
I love getting my haircut here, but I'm grossed out every time I'm in here.
But isn't that the thing? Like, most really good restaurants, they're gross. A greasy spoon.
They're gross.
Yeah. Most really cool places, just dungy. Like, they don't keep the upkeep. It's a hidden gem. You don't want other people going there.
Until the inspector comes in and shuts you down.
Yeah, we don't worry about them. You won't worry about that.
And I know we have hairstylists who listen to the show. I always thought you had to keep at least a minimum level of cleanliness in your salon. Because you can't just have other people's hair. Like, I'll leave sometimes and I'll look down at the floor of my car and there's like a big clump of gray hair at the bottom. And I don't have gray hair. So meaning that I left with someone else's hair on my shoes.
That's not okay.
And it fell off inside my automobile.
All I'm saying is, Those good places, those hole-in-the-wall places.
I agree with you. You know what? One time when I drove from Texas to Minnesota by myself without my family,
yep.
I was like, I'm going to stop at every terrible restaurant I've always seen along the way.
Smart.
And eat at those. Because with my family, I can't do that. My wife is not going to allow such shenanigans.
There's one place, if you're driving down 52 going towards Rochester.
I don't know these words.
Okay. So you leave right outside of Rosemont.
Okay.
Just tell me about the restaurant. It's a burger place.
Okay.
Best burgers in the state. Nobody ever goes there because it's on a weird exit off the highway. It's very small.
I believe it. How do they stay in business then?
People know about it.
It's old meat.
They just swing by.
Yeah, but it's the best.
They're feeding you old dry meat.
It's the best of meats. Well, you got to check it out for yourself. Also, can I say you guys are both a bad influence on me?
Why?
What happened? Did you drink last night?
No, I almost did.
I almost did.
Because before I started the show, I didn't drink coffee. I never drank coffee.
Ah, he came to the dark side.
I have now been drinking coffee every single day.
I don't drink coffee ever. But can I say something? I love Brian on coffee.
I do too.
I love caffeinated Brian. He's
not
all glum.
Perked up.
Here's the other thing.
Hat backwards.
Last night in the middle of the night, I'm walking around the house and I'm walking going dun, dun, bum, ba, da, 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 da. Because PM Dawn is so I had to go on the internet and play PM Dawn last
and
night
listen to
because
it
was stuck in my head. Not Brian, because I wanted to, because I had to.
Brian, darling, that's what happens when you're in the presence of greatness. You just start to absorb the best parts.
I don't think that's the case
at
all.
I think around you.
I think that's when it happens all the time.
He's leveling kind of, up.
Who is she talking about?
I have no idea.
You and me.
It ain't me. Certainly ain't me.
PM Dawn.
PM Dawn is great.
You're changing the kid's life.
Hey, are we going to address that OJ passed away yesterday?
No.
We're not?
Okay. No,
crazy?
I mean,
You know what's even crazier? OJ passes away yesterday, and they recalled 23,000 Ford Broncos yesterday.
Really?
Because there's a crack in the fuel line. There's a crack in the fuel filter, which can cause a fire. And it's ironic, I think, if I know the meaning of that word.
Sure.
That on the day OJ passes away, 23,000 Broncos get recalled.
How many had gloves in the
I don't know. They didn't fit, so you must have quit. You know what else should we do? What other big events happened back in 1994 when that low-speed chase happened?
I know one. Wasn't there an earthquake that day?
I don't know about on that day.
Like in 94, there was a big earthquake.
But I know that Kurt Cobain died in 1994.
Yep. Yikes.
That was a big event that happened then.
There was that earthquake.
On May 10th, there was a solar eclipse. Back in 1994.
It was probably cloudy. Nobody saw it.
Michael Jackson married Lisa Marie Presley back in 1994.
Yeah, everybody thought it was fake.
That was the most awkward kiss ever on television when they kissed at the MTV Music Awards.
Is that the one where he forced a kiss on her?
It looked like she was like gross.
Yeah, that's why I was like, is this fake?
One of the best openings to an MTV Video Music Awards ever was Michael Jackson's opening to that. I will watch that on YouTube at least once a month.
He's the Prince of Pop, man. Nancy Kerrigan was attacked
on
in
that
1994.
Day? We got the TV shows Home Improvement, Seinfeld.
Ooh.
Roseanne, Grace Under Fire, Coach, Friends.
Aww.
Wasn't Coach based out of Minnesota? Wasn't that like the...
Yep.
It was a Minnesota coach?
The Minnesota Eagles was the team.
That was it.
Not the Mighty Ducks?
No. But yeah, it's crazy to think. Now, I'm old, fine. I'm 48. I'm not... Sure. I don't know when we started hating people who are over the age of 40. I don't know when that started.
Mm-mm. I think 40 is like the new 30.
In our society. But I remember going to a high school party. I still remember the girl's name. Her name was Libby. And we were all at her house.
Yep.
And I didn't ever drink. I didn't drink till I was 21. So everybody's drinking. I'm just standing there. And I'm like, what the hell's going on TV? And it was the OJ low speed chase. And I was like, what is this that I'm watching? And I'm like, OJ, like OJ Simpson from The Naked Gun? Because that was my reference.
Yeah. You know? So everybody's out there playing beer pong and whatnot. You're over here watching the TV. Like, guys, see what OJ's doing?
I'm taking notes.
This is crazy.
Yeah. But what? And I still remember, I don't know if I've ever told you guys that I went to HVAC school.
Yeah, maybe once.
Okay. When I was going to HVAC school, like everybody would be in the common area at Hennepin Technical College.
Sure.
Watching the trial. Like it would be hundreds of students sitting there watching the trial.
I remember that.
It's still absurd to me, that line where he goes, if the glove don't fit, you must have quit.
Yeah.
Like the idea that he had nothing else to talk about. He goes, I have no other way to save you, but the glove doesn't fit. So we're just going to run with it, man.
That
and go
to
for
me
the best.
Is like that, like the floating door with Jack and Rose and Titanic. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they could have fit. They could have fit both of them.
Well, this is a little more serious than
that.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I was going to do for the laughter at 20 after today, because Norm MacDonald, who is all, we also lost him.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a murderer.
No.
He would roast OJ on Saturday Night Live to the point where you're like, damn, how can he say? Should I play a little bit of it?
I kind of hope. I want you to.
Like, I'm going to play this, and I didn't put it in the laughter at 20 after because, one, I didn't want to focus on OJ, but this dude was savage.
Well, let's get to OJ. OJ Simpson's lawyers say they don't want the families of Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman in the courtroom during the trial. They're afraid the presence of the family members will just remind OJ of how much more killing he still has to do. It was revealed this week that defense lawyer Johnny Cochran once abused his first wife. In his defense, Cochran said, hey, at least I didn't kill her like some people I know.
Just savage. That's why he ended up getting let go from Saturday Night Live, because that dude would not hold back. It was savage.
That was insane.
Oh, man.
So
funny, though, man. That dude was the best. But anyway, not OJ, Norm MacDonald.
Thank you for clarifying.
We're talking about two different people here.
You know what I just looked up from 94?
What?
The Lion King came out.
Oh, really?
It was 3 days after the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and 2 days before the Bronco chase.
Man, when an animated movie used to come out, it was an event,
dude. We needed that.
Really?
I mean, it was such a huge deal because they would take years to make, and it was such an event back then. That was just like, they don't even do anything.
I've always felt like they need to bring back the cartoon movie, like animated movies in theaters.
They did that with The Princess and the Frog.
That was the last one.
That was a good movie. That was a great movie. I miss those movies so much.
No.
Sometimes I'll put on a children's movie that I used to watch with my kids all the time. Tangled is such a great one. The story.
I love all of them.
They're so good. They were so well done.
We love Lion King so much. We got a cat in 1996 and we named him Simba.
That's nice.
And we would hold him up like that. We would sing.
Lots of people were naming their dog Simba back then too. Simba. A lot of animals caught that name back in the 90s.
I still watch those kids' movies even though I don't have kids. It's worth it.
Whoa, see that? Now that's kids' movies.
Now that's weird.
That was like my childhood.
Well, no, I have Disney Plus, so it's fine.
I still watch them.
But those are the movies of your childhood, though.
Yes, exactly.
So that's different.
Iconic.
All right, well, guys, should we get the morning going, do some history, or what?
Let's do it.
Okay, come on. Speaking of things that are crazy to think back on, it was all the way back in 1955.
The first distribution to health authorities of enough polio vaccine to inject 200,000 children. A vital phase has been reached in the campaign against poliomyelitis. The vaccine has been subjected to the most stringent safety measures by the manufacturers and the Medical Research Council.
The polio vaccine developed by Dr. Jonas Salk was declared safe and effective. You know how they used to treat polio before that?
Mm-mm.
They would bring kids to almost starvation.
Oh, no.
And they thought that would help polio.
Oh, gosh.
I did this in maybe it's just
and
me
I'm guessing
one time.
It didn't help.
No, it did not. That's but they just terrible. Didn't know what the hell they were doing back
but that
then.
That vaccine saved thousands of lives, tens
it's,
of thousands
it's
of
crazy
lives.
To think. It's crazy to think that like you would sit there worried about your kids getting polio.
Ugh.
Let's see. On this day in 1989, this is a big day in country music.
Looking back.
God, I love this song.
On the memory of
on this day in 1989, Garth Brooks releases his debut album titled Garth Brooks. It had this song on it. It had If Tomorrow Never Comes.
For a moment.
The older I get, the song hits different.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So beautiful.
How could I have known?
I'm about to cry. All right.
Flip the song. We don't need to. You were just blasting off 5 minutes ago.
I was. And then on this day back in 2022, we lost one of my favorites.
Just stop it. Oh, stop it. Enough. Behave yourselves. Just stop it. Just stop. You're getting carried away. Just stop it. Stop.
Gilbert Godfrey, this is a bad example of how funny he was, but I was rushed for clips this morning. I got caught in a conversation. I was running late, but
I envy you.
Anyway, Gilbert Godfrey passed away on this day back in 2022.
He was funny, but he was also really weird.
That was just a character that he would do. Like, he used to be on the Howard Stern show all the time, and that's when he, to me, was at his funniest. But it was funny because Howard Stern would play, like, voicemails from him where he would just sound, like, just normal. No, I don't know. I was that was funny, I guess. All right. Let's do some birthdays real quick, shall we?
Yep.
Celebrating a birthday today, another one of our artists. I love this song. Mm. You know what this is?
Joe Nichols.
Easton Corbin.
That's what I meant.
Imagine a dirt road full of potholes.
One time I had a radio promotion at a casino, and it was for Easton Corbin, and by the time we got there, we went and played one slot machine, came back, the show was over. And I was like, ooh, did kind of miss that promotion part of things.
Well, that happens, bro. Yeah. Especially when you're a degenerate gambler.
Yeah, well, I thought I had time. I guess time was wrong.
All right. How old is old Easton Corbin today?
I'm going to say he's 37.
Okay.
41.
Ah, Brian Riley's close.
Ooh.
Chelsea, you are not.
All right.
He's the ripe old age of 42 today.
Ah.
Also celebrating a birthday today.
I like both. I like the weather in LA better, mm-hmm. but I love New York City.
New York City is exciting, though, isn't it?
I was born here, yeah.
Yeah, good for you. How'd you like being in jail?
Oh, man. He was the last of the greats. David Letterman. It's his birthday today.
Who was he interviewing there?
Paris Hilton.
Oh, okay. Oy.
Yeah. How old is David Letterman?
David's. He's up there, man. I'm going to say he's, 78.
All right. Brian Riley?
I'm going to say 82.
All right, Brian Riley. Chelsea.
What?
Yep, he's the ripe old age of 77 today.
David Letterman.
I used to love him. I can't watch his show. Every time people go political, I can't watch them anymore. And that's kind of his thing now. He's all political. But
Mike texted in saying it's not a birthday, but tomorrow's his 22nd wedding anniversary.
Whoa, oh, that's crazy. Nicely done, sir.
That's exciting.
I can speak from experience about how difficult that must have been for you.
Oh, I think that's beautiful. Isn't it after 20 years you just kind of say, yes, dear?
I think you put her in cruise control.
Then you're in cruise, yeah.
You give up all, you just give up any hope of ever being right, and you just like, well, I guess this is my life.
How long do you have till you can just cruise?
See, we just celebrated, my daughter's 14, so we celebrated our 14-year anniversary, so.
So 6 more years till you can cruise.
6 more years, dude, I cannot wait. I am going to put that thing in cruise control and pray for the sweet embrace of death.
That is the happiest thing you can say on a Friday.